أبيه وأصحابه والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. وبعد إن شاء الله But before we do that, inshallah, we're going to go through the discussion. Is it permissible to say, "Oh Allah, forgive me if you want"?
No,
it's not permissible. Why it's not permissible to say, "Oh Allah, forgive me if you want"? Is it permissible to say, "As-salamu ala Allah"?
No, because Allah is one name. Allah is As-salam, means peace. Allah is peace.
Is it appropriate to make our gratefulness to Allah conditional upon receiving certain bounties?
No.
Yeah. I'm not saying so, is it appropriate?
No, no, it's not appropriate. Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't provide you with that bounty, then you won't be grateful to Allah. So if you make your gratefulness conditional on that bounty, and then Allah chooses to have to give you that bounty, and then in turn, you're not going to be grateful for Allah.
There's one implication. It is the other.
Okay.
So it's most likely. Is it appropriate?
It's not. No, it's okay. But that shouldn't be a cause for Allah.
But he said also, most likely, those people who make their gratefulness conditional upon receiving a certain bounty, when they receive this bounty, they do not show their gratitude. In that ayah in the Quran, فَلَمَّا أَتَاهُمَا صَالِحَا, he said, what is the favorable opinion about this ayah? So, the method that is mentioned in this ayah, it could refer to the source, which could be Adam, or it could refer to the nature of that which is created. So in this ayah, it's the name of it that Allah created you from the same nature. So the men and the woman are from the same nature. Not that the men from the son of Adam, and the woman from the jinn. But the men and women are from the same nature. And this is the appropriate interpretation of this act. Why if somebody asks us by Allah, we should give him?
A man from the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if somebody asks him what's the name of Allah or in the name of Allah, that he should give him. If you don't have it to give, then you should say
That's good that you answer that. And this is similar when Aisha radiallahu anha was asked why the women, they make up the fast and they do not make up the prayer. Why they are on their menses, because she said this is about what she used to do. And this is the justification for which we do things. But I was meaning when I asked this question, what is the illah, the hukum, that when somebody asks us by Allah, we give this individual. other than the evidence to glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What did the scholar say about naming a person and having this name followed by the word Aziz?
The scholar said that the name Deen in Islam is an honorable name, and that the person might not live up to those to that. So it's not correct to name the person with the name followed by Deen or Islam.
Do you know who said that, or who, and what scholar was saying that, and in what book? I think it was from the contemporary scholars.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I was living in the same time as Ibn al-Qayyim.
Yes.
In his book, what is the title of that book? It's the Tafsir al-Mawlud. So accordingly, we have our brother Shafiuddin, he decided when he heard that hukum to change his name. What did you change your name to?
Abdul Rahman.
Abdul Rahman. So now it is documented and it is official. Having said that, inshallah, we move on to the new chapter that we need to discuss, which is chapter number 56. We have talked about this chapter. We are discussing the chapter Bab Ma Ja'a Fi Al-Lawh, the chapter concerning the report about lawh, the chapter concerning the report about lawh. Lawh in Arabic means if, or lawh in English means if. Law could be used in certain circumstances. Some of them are haram and some of them are not. If somebody uses law to oppose the legislation of Allah, that represents rejection to Allah's rule. An example of that, what is mentioned in this chapter, يقولون لو كان لنا من الأمر شيء ما قتلنا هاهنا. They say, if we have anything to do with the affair, none of us would have died killed here. That has been said when the Hypocrites, after they were moving with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the battle of Uhud, some of them, they decided to go back to Al-Madina. Upon hearing that, some of the Muslims have died, they say that what they have said. So they have said that to oppose the legislation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to go on and to have this battle. Another law that could be used to oppose the destiny of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, also using law in this circumstance is not permissible. An example of that, the second ayah that is mentioned in this chapter, الذين قالوا لإخوانهم وقعدوا لو أطاعونا ما قتلوا. Those who said to their brothers and they remained in their place, and they said, if you obeyed us, you would not, they would not have been killed. So here they are thinking this law, they are using it to oppose the destiny of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even though those people know that they have been killed, no matter what the situation will be, they would be killed, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the preordainment upon them to die in a certain time, and they would have died no matter what would be the situation. According Allah's rule, whether it is the legislative rule or the destinative rule, with love, have serious consequences. Could reach the level of disbelief altogether and exiting from Islam. Another law could be used in a situation of regret. When people do something and they say, out of regret, law and law, if we did this, had we done that? This law also is not permissible to be used in this situation, because using law in those circumstances given opportunity to the shaitan to advance on you and to take control of your affairs. So using law in this circumstance give the shaitan the opportunity to advance on you. Now remember, the shaitan always is waiting for the opportunity to advance on you and to do the damage to your heart as much as possible. And this is what the third hadith is talking about. Where it says, احرق على ما ينفعك واستعن بالله ولا تعجزن وإن أصابك شيء فلا تقل لو أني ذا وكذا ولكن قل قدر الله وما شاء فعل أو قدر الله وما شاء فعل فإن لو تفتح عمل الشيطان. It says, احرق. Ihram, if you want to translate that, this word, which has the first letters, ha and ra and fa, it could mean to put forth effort in realizing your objective. Putting forth effort in realizing your objective. Persisting and gaining and realizing your objective. So the Prophet tell us to do that, to put forth effort in realizing our objective, our those objectives which are good for us. This is, he said, احرق على ما ينفعك. Be after that which is of benefit to you. And seek the help of Allah. And do not let laziness come to you. If something befall you after that, do not say, if I did this, it would have been this, it would have been this and this. But say, this is the destiny of Allah, and Allah did what He will, because love opens the door for the shaitan to work on you. So in this hadith also, it's not permissible for us to use law when we are regretting things that we have done, provided that we do two things. First, we put forth the effort to realize those things which are of benefit to us. Secondly, in doing so, we do not depend on ourselves, that we depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us. So if a person does that, then he should not say, if I have done that and if I have done that. Because saying no in this situation, in those situations, opens the door for the shaitan to work on you. Also from this hadith we can get some more benefits and more points. First, that which is of benefit to you, you have to put forth effort to realize it. And the more of a thing of a benefit to you, you have to put more effort to realize it. There's a lot of things of benefit to us in this life and in the hereafter. And we should try to get all of those of benefit to us in this life and the hereafter. An example of something that is of benefit to you in this life is to have electricity in your house. It will benefit you so you can see, you can read your books, you can cook your food. So you have to go after those things which are of benefit to you. It's of benefit to you to have a happy household. So it's good to put forth effort to make your household happy. To make sure your family gets what they need. That is of benefit to you. Just like it's of benefit to you to pray and to fast. So it's of benefit to you to learn your tawheed. All of those things of benefit to you. Those things which are of benefit to you the most, you have to put the most effort in realizing. And in doing so, you seek the help of Allah Azza wa Jalla. You seek the assistance of Allah. Because without seeking the assistance of Allah, we cannot do anything. And in seeking the assistance of Allah, that does not negate from seeking people to help us. Because when we are seeking people to help us, just like we are using both hands to do something. You know, if I want to open this gap with one hand, maybe I'm going to have a very hard time to do that. By putting two hands together, it will be easy. By using both hands, that does not mean that I am seeking the assistance of Allah to do so. Because without His assistance, I won't be able to do so. Also by seeking the help of people, that does not negate us from seeking the assistance of Allah. Just like using both hands does not negate we are seeking the assistance of Allah Azza wa Jal to achieve our objectives which are good for us. There remains to us two circumstances where we can say if and it's permissible. One, when you say if in wishing. Say if I have money, I will spend it for the sake of Allah. This is permissible. And that is taken from the hadith in which one of the people that was talked about in this hadith, he said, if I had the money of so and so, I would spend it for the sake of Allah. So this is permissible to say that. Also another circumstance where you can say if is to inform Allah about what you have done. An example of that was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لو استكبرت من أمري ما استكبرت لجعلتها عمرة. And here the Prophet said, if I knew what was going to be, I would have made my trip to be an Umrah. So in this circumstance, a person could say to inform others. Another example of that is you go and give a charity to a person. And then somebody can come to you and tell you, this person does not deserve your charity. He is this and this and that. See, if I know, I would not have given it. That does not mean you are regretting, but you are telling, informing the people. If you knew that more information, your behavior would have changed. Speak to us, inshallah, on the issue. Thank you. explanation of the difference is adding along?
No.
There's a difference of saying is or something as what it happens to you. The reason being that you do so opens the way for the work that she is on. Guiding people that teach. The expectation to do good deeds which are beneficial in your action while seeking help and assistance from Allah. Doing the opposite, i.e. seeking help from others in Allah, is prohibited through convenience.
Now, because it says in this hadith, I do not make craziness come to you. Because sometimes a person will put effort to seek that which is of benefit to him, and he's seeking that of Allah, but later on he lets laziness come to him and loses his, you know, drive. So this is why the Prophet said that, which means do not let laziness come to you when you are trying to gain that which is of benefit to you. The second chapter, the chapter about باب النهي عن سب الريح, prohibition of cursing the wind. And this is similar to a chapter that we have discussed before. Look at the previous chapter. The time, the نهي عن سب الدهر, لا تسب الدهر. Because this wind is assigned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be strong or to be weak, to bring rain or to bring storm, to bring wind that could make the life of people easy or to bring destructive wind. All of that is executed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, by cursing the wind, a person is cursing the one who deciding the what for the wind to do. But what should we do when the wind comes? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is for us to ask the hadith.
Get an area of the way in the path, whether you're not going to get along with the storm of water on the way of the head, when I'm first the wind. If you see that which is completely to you and say, oh Allah, we have to feel the good of this wind and the good of what is in it, and the good that is in it. And the good that it is commanded to bring along with it. And we keep your attention from the harm that it is meant and the evil of what is in it, the evil that it is commanded to bring along with it.
Basically,
cursing the wind is prohibited. Guiding to beneficial words and forming to these levels of this life.
Yes. But when you see something that you do not like, you do not curse that, but you say the words which are appropriate. You say, I seek refuge in Allah from the evil of whatever contained in that thing that you dislike.
The wind is commanded by Allah's orders. So we may be ordered to deal with it.
This chapter and the chapter before it, of course, is related to Tawheed. The relationship of the chapter of faith is when a person does not use his aim in the wrong place that defies his tawheed. But he uses it to oppose the revelation of Allah that he defies his tawheed. If a person uses it to oppose the destiny of Allah that he defies his tawheed. Or when a person uses it in a regret for the defiance of Tawheed. Because you have to know, just like what the hadith says, when something do not unfold the way you have planned, you say, this is the destiny of Allah, and whatever Allah distributes, it puts it. And that makes you rely upon what Allah has distributed to you, and this is part of accepting Allah as your Lord. But we do not say that without putting forth the effort and without seeking the help of Allah and without seeking laziness from coming to us. The second chapter, 58, the relation of that chapter to Tawheed is to accept what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides upon his creation as far as death, destruction, calamity, because all of that is decided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next chapter, chapter 59, is a chapter and does not have a title, but here there is a title in the translation for the bishop of one regarding Allah. One is evil assumption. One, wa and mean, evil assumption. We are commanded in the religion to have good assumptions regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah said in the Hadith al-Qudsi, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي. I will be the expectation of my slave. So let him expect whatever he wants. So I need the assumption of my slave. So let him assume whatever he wants. So here, the Muslim is commanded to have good assumption regarding Allah. But as Ibn Qayyim said, the good assumption is the hope. Whoever hope was guiding him to obey Allah and to stay away from the prohibition, this is the good assumption. And whoever assumption was guiding him to vanity, thus he does not obey Allah and he does the prohibition, this person who has the bad assumption, this person assuming that Allah will forgive him even if he is disobeying Allah Azza wa Jalla. So for us to have a dhannul hasan, the good assumption of dhannul hasan, we have to have the good deed. Husnul dhann yujib husnul amal. Good assumption necessitates for you to do good deeds. That's what the wrong assumption regarding Allah results in the people to do bad deeds. Therefore, you find those who have vanity and they think they're going to go to paradise and they're going to be forgiving and they say this is part of our good assumption to in Allah. You see at the same time they are doing heinous crimes. And this is what this chapter is addressing. يظنون بالله غير الحق ظن الجاهلية يقولون هل لنا من الأمر من شيء قل إن الأمر كله لله يخفون في أنفسهم ما لا يبدون لك يقولون لو كان لنا من الأمر شيء ما قتلنا هاهنا قل لو كنتم في بيوتكم لبرز الذين كتب عليهم القتل إلى مضاجعهم وليبتلي الله ما في صدوركم وليمحص ما في قلوبكم والله عليم بذات الصدور. To replace that statement with they have their own assumption.
And he did bear the wrong call to Allah. They hide within themselves, but they dare not reveal to you, saying, if he had anything to do with the affair, none of us would have killed him. Say, even if you had remained in your home, those in the death of decrees and service of our Lord to the place of the death, but that Allah might judge what is in your breath and
mahim.
That which was in your breath, I mean sin, and Allah is all Lord and what is in your breath.
This ayah is the same ayah that we have discussed before in chapter 57, where it says, يَقُولُونَ لَوْ They say, if we have anything to do with this affair, we would not have been killed. They are saying that because they have a wrong assumption about Allah, that Allah has forsaken the belief. Or they have the wrong assumption about Allah, that Allah, His plan was not good enough to be good. Give victory to the believers. So they said that those hypocrites, when the 70 people of Muslims, the 70 Muslims that were killed in the battle of Uhud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to them and he said, those who were ordained to have been killed, they would have been killed even if they were in their houses. So Allah is testing that which is in your heart. That was it.